Census 1234 invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and David O'Doherty.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another week of it. It's myself, Tony Martin. Ed Cavalier, seen in the social pages. We'll get to that later, is over on the side. And please, a round of fake applause for David O'Doherty, if you could. Thanks for coming in, David.
David O'Doherty, spelt on this sheet in front of me with no R. So it's David O'Doherty.
Which is in the time.
Thank you very much.
There's such a mad panic to get today's show together. I'm just going to leave out a consonant. There's no time for it. David is one of the many fine comedians from overseas who have descended on Australia for the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And then are you touring around elsewhere afterwards?
I was just beforehand. I did Alice Springs, Darwin. And I'm heading to New Zealand for the festival there after this.
Right. And how did you go in Alice Springs?
I got sweaty balls.
Really?
Can I say that, actually?
It's sweaty balls Monday, so say what you want.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, it was fine initially. And then about 3 days in, just sort of ground to a halt. Because I've come from Irish winter, which is... dry balls weather, and then to come straight down here, ground to old. Had to buy nappy rush cream and pretend to the man in the shop that it was for my 8-month-old daughter. So that's...
Well, we offer the finest scrotal comfort on radio here at Get This, so thanks for coming in. Do you do your own radio show? Look at this, I've got your biography. Most of it seems to be made up.
Yes.
So it's at the point where you go, is this made up or is this true? You have... a radio series about bee detectives.
This is, that's true.
That part's true.
That part is true. The problem is when you do ABC Northern Territory, and my blurb is, comedian's blurb is always just blowing their own trumpets. Yeah. Oh, this guy's the funniest guy ever. So instead I just made up everything. So it says stuff like, I invented the internet. But the difficult thing about going on some of those stations is they go, so, completely straight-faced, you claim to have invented the internet like that. And no. Yes, I know I did. Look, leave me alone. My balls are sore.
But what about the bee detectives?
That was, this is how this came about. I wrote it with my brother. I wanted to write a radio series about detectives.
Yes.
My brother wanted to write a radio series about bees. So we hit on this ingenious middle ground, which was bee detectives.
How much mileage is there in bee detectives?
Well, the thing is, no one knows what goes on in hives.
So it's a blank canvas.
They might just be hanging out, but they could be solving crimes. And right. The other advantage that bees have is that bees can easily fly into a room and overhear stuff. They could be, yeah, exactly.
Do you give them voice to talking bees, or do you narrate over the top of buzzing?
No, we had buzzing, but then, oh my God, this was such a long, long debate as to what voice bees have. And in the end, they have slightly stereotypical Italian accents.
Right.
Like that, with zzz in the background. So apologies to anyone of Italian extraction, but you sound like bees to me.
And do you have your own sort of, dare I say, proper radio show as well, is that right?
Yes, a proper radio show of sorts at home. I do a popular music show with new bands and things on. People who are basically too cool to say anything.
That's right.
So sit there bending paper clips for the whole thing going, yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like good, and we've got guitars and stuff, and just I play bass as well. It's cool, yeah?
That's one of the problems with working on music radio is all your favourite bands have... pretty much nothing to say.
Yes. There's nothing that smashes your heroism of this band more than getting them into studio and them going, I was just good and stuff. Can you get me water? It's very early. It's 3 p.m. It's very good. Please, let me go to bed.
Well, thanks for coming in today, David. We've got to play a bit of music now.
Thank you for having me, and also for making this microphone statically charged. When I adjusted it a moment ago, I got an electrical static charge, but didn't let that get across on the radio.
We'll have the lawsuit papers ready for you on your exit, but we want you to stick around for the rest of the hour. I'll get this.
That's the Clash there with Rock the Casbah.
My microphone wasn't on.
I was straight in there, though.
I was just off mic for a moment. David O'Doherty is with us, fine Irish comedian. How are you finding the comedy festival?
It's fun. It's a good time to get out of Ireland. I think this is when the sort of winter come spring gets a bit depressing around as it stretches into its eighth month or whatever. So I'll be back in June when the tropical heat begins to take hold.
Now, we do this with all the visiting comedians. We say, have you got any questions? Is there anything you need to understand about our nation for your act to, you know, properly unfold?
There were a few confusing things. I did that, what's that show called? The Glass House.
Yeah.
And they were talking about spruiking.
Spruiking.
And that's literally something that doesn't exist at home. There's no equivalent of people standing outside shops shouting at you. It's just one of the most bizarre cultural things. So they wanted to talk about it from the point of view of, hey, spruiking, I mean, they're talking about banning it. Isn't that the end of a great cultural thing? I mean, it's a stupid thing. Why are you shouting? Particularly when there's no one around on the street and you know it's specifically aimed at you.
Have you seen those two rival spruikers on Swanston Street in Melbourne? There's what two discount clothes shops quite close together.
Yes.
And they kind of up the ante, you know, $6 jackets, $4 jackets.
Wow, that's a sign of quality right there. Yeah.
Well, spruiking, we have, what else have we got that we can expect? Well, petrol prices, obviously, that'd be through the roof over your side of the world, would they? Or
yes, they would. But I mean, we have much tinier cars than you get here. I have a Fiat Seicento car. Ooh, it's only three-door, but the legroom's excellento. And you could literally park it on the back of most large utility vehicles in this country. So we try and get around the problem, whereas you just deny it exists.
No, we just buy bigger and bigger. We have the cars that surrounded the house when E.T. was being picked up by the CEA. Those giant SUV cars. And they'll just have a tiny, emaciated, blonde, tanned woman inside going to pick up her tiny children.
Feeling safe from school.
And AFL is going to the match tomorrow. The somebodies against the somebodies.
What's that about, Ed? You'll know about this, Ed. What's the story?
Guys, Essendon versus Collingwood.
Right.
Traditional Anzac Day clash at the MCG. It'll be packed to the rafters.
And Anzac Day isn't as big a thing at home, to be honest.
No, they don't go for that.
It hasn't taken off?
Not really, no. Not even the biscuits. No.
Strange.
I don't know.
This is how bad the petrol prices are getting. They're going to start asking people to pay for their petrol before they stick it in the car.
I have a friend in Sydney who worked at a petrol station who, by her own admission, she instigated that because she was so bad at asking people for petrol that they would just drive away.
Right.
Because like 10 people a day.
They do it at night time at some place.
Yes, yeah.
And it's troubled parts of the country.
Yeah.
But what's the idea of getting you to pay beforehand in case you run off?
Yeah. People are just getting the petrol and just driving away.
Thieving. Small amounts of petrol. Oh, my God.
So now you have to pay, you've got plenty of time to go to the bank, take out a loan, wait till the paperwork's processed, get down to the petrol station, sort it out. And then I love this. They always have a chart around about Easter here that shows how mysteriously the petrol prices go up just before a public holiday.
No.
And the government insists there's absolutely no correlation.
No.
But 8 out of the 9 last giant petrol rises have all happened just before, like Easter or Anzac Day, something like that.
Really? Yeah. Wow. This is a conspiracy being uncovered right here live on the radio.
Need the B detectives in on this one.
Yeah. This would be... It changes the whole idea of the getaway driver, though, doesn't it, really, in a situation? Quick, get away. No, hang on. That would be wasting the money. Let's just push the car down the street.
And the cops pushing their car after them. But we do have a lot of shonkiness in this country. I see one of... you may not have heard the name Tony Mockbell, but he's our fugitive drug dealer. Sort of Tony Soprano style figure.
Whoa, Fat Tony, the media have dubbed him.
He is literally Fat Tony, and he's fled the country. And the latest, and people are trying to spot him, but everyone's got a story. The latest one is that he went over to Perth and left the country disguised as a priest.
Whoa.
Was that the same trick that I think Dean Martin and Sammy Davis used in Cannonball Run? They were dressed as
That's where he got it.
They were priests, weren't they?
Yeah.
There was some scam involving fast driving and moonshine, probably.
Yeah, the only thing that's sort of counting against him in the whole priest disguise is that he's under the age of 90, which I think, what are you?
That's Fat Tony for you. Hey, David, I've been... last week we had a wonderful comedian called Mark Watson in.
Oh, yeah.
And we looked him up on the internet, and of course, there were a lot of Mark Watsons.
Right.
So we've done the same thing with you. And is there some kind of war going on between you and another David O'Doherty?
Well, firstly, there's four David O'Dohertys that I know of. The one that I'm coming up against most is there's a barrister here called David O'Doherty who every day is in the paper. He's defending someone in a big drugs trial at the moment. So I just like the idea that people are coming to my show to get the insights. Scoop on that. There's a David O'Doherty is the name of Ireland's premier young violinist.
Right.
But this guy right here is David O'Doherty, the mathematician and scientist who has had a long running run-in with me.
This endless screeds about you on his site.
Yes. People used to email him before I had a website, and they used to say that they'd seen him do gigs,
right.
And he got furious at that. I mean, I can't believe that those people weren't kind of taking the mickey out of him, because his website is clearly dedicated to his obsession with prime numbers.
But he's also got a bit where he says how, and I don't know how you do it, but you have to do something so that when people look up David O'Doherty on Google, that you come in first.
Yeah.
So he's done whatever it takes to make sure he's the top David O'Doherty.
Yes, that's a sign your career is going well when you're the number 3/4 ranked David O'Doherty on the internet. But yeah, he's I just imagine him talking in that voice because he's a mathematician. So here's what I'm saying. I'm a second year undergraduate reading mathematics at Jesus College, Cambridge. Basically, I think he can have me killed quite easily, or at least can figure out my DNA to some extent and just rewire me. So I'm a little scared to make fun of him too much. But he did ring me at one stage. I had enough. Of him making fun of me and his website. So after one show in Dublin, I told the entire audience to email him and pretend that he was me. And afterwards, he took it's not that hard to track down my phone number. The three David O'Dohertys were the four of us. The four Dublin ones are listed side by side in the Dublin phone directory. So he managed to ring me up and we had a little chat about the whole thing. And that's odd when you're talking to someone else with the same name as you.
He'll be working on something. Next move. David Michael O'Doherty, he'll have some mathematical revenge plan.
Absolutely, yeah.
Numeric vengeance.
He's I'm going to get you.
Well, we'd love to hear from any David O'Doherty's. Feel free to give us a call.
Give us a ring.
And we'll be back with more in a moment.
Get this.
It was spiritual. It was powerful. It was indescribable.
The Census 1-2-3-4 on Triple M.
It's Get This on Triple M with David O'Doherty. Do they have Big Brother in Ireland, David? I'm going to take that as a no.
Yeah, we get the UK one.
Well, we'll talk about that next.
Triple M.
Forever Young, that's youth group here at Triple M. It's Get This. Our co-host this morning is David O'Doherty, an excellent Irish comedian who's in Melbourne for the Comedy Festival, possibly coming to your town. If he is, go and see him.
Mm-hmm.
David, I'm sorry to drag you down into this gutter of a program. It's time to discuss Big Brother now. What's the deal with Big Brother in the UK?
Well, in the UK, it's pretty much everywhere. I think it starts in the summer. I think it's a summery thing, so it's not going to be on for a little while. Ireland has our national broadcaster is the world's cheapest TV.
Right, so they couldn't mount a Big Brother. Really.
You see, they couldn't afford to obviously buy the Big Brother concept or title from Endemol or whoever make it. So they decided to make up their own.
Oh.
And it was called Cabin Fever because it was set on a boat that was going around the coast of Ireland.
Right.
But the boat sank. Off the coast of Donegal.
The actual house was voted into the ocean.
Well, all the contestants then sued the national broadcaster for hundreds of thousands of euro. So it was a fitting end to a shambolic piece of television. But,
were people lurching from side to side every week? How big was the boat?
Well, exactly. That was it. It was mostly people vomiting on top of each other. Because all they really want is people to start doing it these shows.
That's
and being at sea, I think, is one of the least horny places to be, especially when you're ill all the time. So it was a complete disaster.
How did it sink? How did the boat sink?
Hit rocks, Ed. It was absolutely phenomenal. And not only that, but like no one happened to be watching it on the internet at the time or on their mobile phone. So it took quite a while for the Coast Guard to get there.
Well, there's really only, as I can see, there's only five subjects on Big Brother. Tits, dicks, people talking about sex, people backstabbing each other, and who's going to crack on with who.
Yeah, well, my friend of mine from university, Tim, came second last year.
Oh, really?
And he immediately ostracized himself in the first 4 seconds. They all sat down to have dinner, and he opened with, John Howard and Leighton Hewitt, I just don't see why Australia needs
them. Yeah. Gone. But hang on a second. We could be judging too soon. Yeah. Now, they had the launch last night, and in the paper yesterday, there was an interview with Chris Noble, who's the producer, who was actually my very first boss in TV 21 really? Years ago. So I feel frightened just talking about this. But he says that initially, for this sixth series, they went out searching for an older cast.
No, yeah, right?
No.
Do you reckon that idea lasted 1 or 2 seconds?
None. That's a lie.
That would never happen.
Is it by any chance blonde people with fake boobies? Is that the entire cast?
Well, let's not judge yet. Because he says that after interviewing hundreds of people around the country, he ended up choosing a younger cast.
Oh.
No, not for an older, they went the other way. A younger cast than last year, but wiser.
Oh,
I was after people who are more worldly.
Yeah. IQs.
I was after people who could speak on a range of topics.
People who've been on Kentucky tours.
It's the intellectual year on Big Brother. Let's have a listen.
Our next housemate says she burps, farts, whinges, is emotional and cries at silly things.
My worst habits are making noises, which I can tend to do in public.
I want to be on BB for the money, the chicks.
My family would describe me as a psycho bitch, a bimbo, a show pony. I use my looks to get what I want all the time, to get into clubs, to get the boys, to get the jobs.
In the house, I'm going to outdrink the boys and outdress the girls.
My friends would describe me as a player, a ladies' man.
He's part Stifler and part dude, where's my car?
Some people, by looking at me, just think I'm a skank. But I'm not, I'm a leader. What really annoys me is if Dad forgets the chicken on Fridays. What I want to do before I die, have sex.
Oh, what frustrates me. Oh, country people, I can't stand them.
It's too brainy for me. Most of that's going over my head, I'm sorry.
The main fear is that somehow, like, the radio waves carrying this TV signal get floated out into space and, like, there's an alien culture flying towards the planet, and that's the first sign they get. And they're probably deciding whether to destroy Earth, and they get someone going, I hate people from the country. Boom! Smash!
But what does it mean when Dad does not get the chicken?
God.
No, we all know what Big Brother is really about.
Infrared cameras in that bedroom, nothing will be missed.
Who wants to go in the pool?
There is our fabulous sauna.
Yeah, there's probably going to be some hot bodies showering naked next to me.
Okay, moving in to look at the shower.
When I look in a mirror, I see someone who needs a shower.
Over to the left, we've got a massage table. And over on the right, a hot tub.
My best physical feature would probably be my boobs because they're new and they're now my most valuable possession.
I can't believe you've had a boob job at 19.
Yeah. I just wanted them a little bigger.
You wanted bigger ones.
Can I touch them?
But look, I can flex them.
When did you get the boob job?
Not long ago.
Were you flexing?
8 weeks ago? Yeah, the whole boob job thing because Karen came up to me and said, I have a boob job. And it was like the same time that I said I got a boob job. We're like, oh, what a coincidence.
What size did you go?
I'm between a C and a D.
Are they high?
No, I'm pretty soft now. But I'm happy. No, I just wanted to get some stuff on my chest.
Is that be your massive fake chest, presumably?
I think the lowest common denominator just got lower.
It was just like this entire discussion of people just... Even the men had boob jobs, in the first...
Dudes, how long does this go on for? Is this going to be here for the remainder of my time in Australia? It's probably 3 months or something.
It's longer. It goes 3-4 months.
Have a listen to this. This is someone called Claire.
Can I win? I know I can win because I've got a personality the public will love and they won't want to get rid of me.
I reckon she's probably already been voted out.
Yeah, I'll break in and drag her out if I have to.
I'm smitten. Claire, marry me.
Now, there's a bloke in there called David from down on the farm. Have a listen to what he has to say.
One thing that I'd be really looking for in the house is trying to find someone to come back and be on the farm here with me. Definitely looking for a partner.
If you're looking for a partner, you just go, where can I know the Big Brother house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a place to develop a stable, loving relationship.
It's got a history of long-term monogamous relationships, you know? Like,
right.
In the Dutch Big Brother, 30 minutes after the... And this, I guess, is the ultimate dream for the Big Brother makers. 30 minutes after the housemates met and went in, two of them were doing it.
Well, here, this I've seen there's all double beds in the house this year.
Right.
So that's obviously for reading. So they can read.
Sudoku.
And of course, we mentioned... And the bloke you just heard who wants a partner, according... didn't say on the show, but according to the Melbourne Herald Sun, gay.
What?
So there's gayness in the house.
Oh. You know the way Fat Tony's gone missing? Is there any chance that he's in there?
Yeah. That could be the bombshell.
That's great. So he's had a boob job and he's gone in.
So everyone's got boob jobs. There's a gay bloke that nobody knows about. But of course, there's the big world first, the big bombshell. Let's have a listen.
Unbeknown to most of the housemates, two of the housemates entering the Big Brother house this evening.
What's it going to be? Are they readers? Have got real tits?
Maybe.
No, it's...
Are in a relationship.
Oh, no. But guess what it turned out to be? One of the ones with the fake tits is the mother of the one we heard earlier with the fake tits. So you've got a mother-daughter fake tits team.
Wow.
And nobody knows that it's mother and daughter in the Big Brother house.
This is classic television right here.
And you've got to, like, they've got to not give it away. And I don't know if I was in the Big Brother house and my mum was in there, it'd be given away in about 10 seconds. She'd be going, "What are you doing inside on such a nice, bright and sunny day?" And they would be given away and I would have lost the money.
You'd look ridiculous with fake tits, though, provided those ones are real.
I like to leave a bit of mystery here on the big program.
Fair, yeah.
David, you just look shocked and disgusted.
This is, yeah, oh my God. Well, it's just going to be everywhere now. And there's constant ads on the TV for it. You can get it sent to your mobile phone just in case you miss any of the awesome world-changing events that occur inside it. So it's just not going to be something I'm going to be able to stay away from. But I'll do my best.
It'd be good if they set them a challenge. Like, I always think they just sit around and do nothing. Like, if they had to build... like a yacht in the time that they were there.
They had to build an ark.
Yeah, and then sail it somewhere. Like, do something kind of, you know, build another house for next year in the time that they were there or something.
Right.
Make wallets for export.
Now we're talking.
Something, yeah. Turn it into a sweatshop.
Yeah.
Good ideas and plenty of them. That's what this show is about. We'll be back with more soon.
Triple M.
Triple M.
That'd be Fleetwood Mac here. Get this on Triple M. Ed and myself are joined by David O'Doherty.
Yeah.
Irish comedian. Is that what you put on the passbook?
Raconteur and broadcaster. Yeah.
Raconteur. What about cake lover?
Oh, my God.
You're in the papers in Melbourne. There's some sort of cake controversy at one of your gigs. What's going on?
What happened was this. About 3 years ago, I went to see a Dylan Moran comedy gig. And the first half was the best comedy gig. One of the greatest gigs I'd ever been to. And then at halftime, I went to buy a muffin from a shop across the road. And during the second half, ate the muffin and found the show was a billion times better while eating a muffin, if that's possible. So from that came the idea for Delicious Cake Night. And the basic principle is... pretty much everything is a billion times better if you do it while eating a cake. So there was one night of my show set aside where I would provide cake for the audience. Not great cake, you'd have to say, but $100-something worth of chocolate cake from Coles.
Oh,
nonetheless,
good stuff.
Yeah, sliced up and all ready to go, paper plates, napkins. But then it was discovered that the venue I'm playing is a very beautiful, ornate. It's Melbourne Council Chambers, where council actually meet.
Yes.
And there is a ban on all food and drink within council chambers. And apparently cake comes under the whole food banner.
What? That's so right.
Yeah. So about 10 minutes before went on, was told, nope, you cannot have the cake at all.
But people have brought along their own cakes.
People had made cakes in the audience. Yeah, word had got out.
And they just had to sit. And as you say, things are better when you're eating a cake.
Yes.
But I think it would be the opposite effect if you're sitting there with a nice cake, not allowed to even look at it, not even allowed to touch it, open it.
Furious. Although you'd have to say, those people who make cakes tend not to get too furious. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to get a little bit angry now as I sit with the cake in my lap. So in the end, the Hi-Fi is the festival club, and the following night I had a DJ set there. I was just playing music and at one point just brought out hundreds of dollars worth of cake. And that's a great way to, because you can basically play anything and the dance floor will stay full while people eat the free cake. So is that, ladies and gentlemen, here's a 12-minute Steely Dan guitar solo. What's that? So that's what happened to the cake in the end. But banned, yeah, by the authorities.
You've been subjected to a ban. Do we have the Talkback Mountain theme queued up, Mr. Beer? I know we weren't, we're catching on. Bans today. Because there's always bans in the air. In Victoria, and I'm assuming this will spread to the rest of the nation because of obesity in children, they're banning sugar products. They're banning, you know, things with sugar in them, Coca-Cola drinks, fizzy drinks in the canteen at school.
Wow.
And have a listen to this kiddie and how disturbed he was.
Tiny consumers understand the reasoning and the repercussions.
There's no such thing as treats in the canteen anymore.
That is so sad.
Such thing as treats in the canteen anymore. Oh. It was like the most shattering footage. Can we hear it again with some sad music?
There's no such thing as treats in the canteen anymore.
Oh dear.
It's sort of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire sadness. the thing that was banned in our canteen was there was a manoeuvre called the penguin. which was when someone would have a tray in their hands, someone else would come up behind them and yank down their trousers. Then they'd have to do the penguin walk over to the table to put the tray down, and that was officially banned.
Good move.
But we used to eat these bars called Wham bars, which were bright pink. And one of those synthetic kind of late 80s foods that's no longer on the market, that you could give one end to your friend and just walk across the other end of the canteen with the other end, and it wouldn't get any thinner. It would just keep pulling. It was you could use it in building, I would say. And they've all been banned now by the European Union. So yeah, I mean, it will be a different generation. Also a generation, I'd say, with a massive slump around 1 p.m. Just kids.
Well, let's hear from the listeners. Yeah. What has been banned at your place? Is there a weird ban going on in your household? Have you got bans?
They banned football. They banned soccer, playing football / soccer at my school.
Right.
And our revenge was to, we had like this many cultures living together montage, big mural at our school. Mm. And we broke into the school one night and made speech bubbles and they all said, soccer is hot. And that was our way of getting it back.
We have a band at our place on Bryan Adams, summer of 69.
What?
I don't mind it at work, but when I get home of an evening, no Bryan Adams, summer of 69. I don't need to hear about that first real six string.
Hey, I heard an incredible story the other day. You know, Ryan Adams is sort of a country rocker.
Yes.
Dude. Well, apparently every gig for the last 3 years, or since whenever he broke, he does an encore and comes out and goes, hey, what do you want me to play, people? And some drunk person shouts in the crowd, summer of 69, like that. And he didn't mind until about 6 months ago. And at a gig recently, he jumped into the crowd to punch the guy who shouted summer of 69, the millionth person to shout at Ryan Adams, summer of 69.
Well, that's kind of a ban. Yeah. Ryan is banning people shouting out summer of 69 at his gigs. Have you got a ban going on at your place? We want to hear about it. Get this, the number to call. 133353.
Get this.
It's still something that I'm processing and I keep reliving.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
Bans. What's been banned at your place? The number to call 133353. Get this.
That's you two, all because of you.
And not all because of you, David O'Doherty, being from Ireland.
No, we didn't.
Top of the morning.
It was a complete coincidence, I assure you. Our co-host is David O'Doherty. Fine comedian. You've got to go and see him when he comes to your town. But we're talking about bans. What's been banned in your neck of the woods? And of course, it's Talkback Mountain. Can't go anywhere without that baffling sound effect. Let's meet Justine. Are you there, Justine?
Yeah, hello. How are you?
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brisbane.
Which part of Brisbane?
Oh, Birkdale. Oh. Bayside suburb.
Oh, very sweet.
What's banned there?
My husband and I have banned ourselves from Sizzler.
You banned yourselves? Why?
We've banned ourselves about 7 years ago. After rolling out of Sizzler, we decided that was it. We possess the gluttony gene. Yeah. We don't know when we've had enough, so we banned ourselves.
Was the soft serve particularly Because I can't get enough.
Do you know what Sizzler is, David?
I'm guessing it's some kind of all-you-can-eat restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, it says no it's off brilliant. Switch.
Right, yeah. And what is it, a meat-based thing? I'm guessing sizzling.
The salad bar, the sweet bar, the pasta bar, we just, all of it. It was all too much, too overwhelming, so we're banned.
I have a theory that you don't eat bread or pasta because they're non-delicious fillers. That's what they want you to do. And don't drink soft drink and don't drink too much water.
Oh, that's a great plan, Ed, so you can actually die after half an hour.
Believe me, we felt like we were going to die after the last time we went there.
Sounds like you put a lot of thought into this, Ed, really.
All you can eat is, I love it.
And how's it going, Justine? How big are you? Biggest loser material?
No, about 60 kilograms. That's not too bad, but that's because of the ban. Remember, if we had to ban ourselves, we would be much, much bigger.
No, well done. 60 Thanks. Kilograms, quite acceptable for Birkdale. We have Rhonda on the line. Rhonda, are you there?
Yeah, guys.
Also from Brisbane, I understand.
I am, yes.
Disneyland. What's the ban?
When I was at school, skipping ropes were banned.
Oh, skipping.
I went to a ladies' college and we weren't allowed to show too much leg or, God forbid, our knickers. So skipping ropes, no show.
Right, so the skipping rope is sort of an erotic accoutrement. Really?
I guess so.
There'll be a lot of skipping in that Big Brother house. You
I was going to say, it's real Big Brother material, isn't it?
We're having a skipping room.
How did you subvert that? How did you subvert the ban?
Well, we were good girls, so we just didn't do it.
Oh. You were able to do the rest of your boxing training, though. That's
When Katie came in and said, we've got someone who's got a skipping ban, Ed quite seriously has turned to me and said, you know, skipping is a really good way to get around.
Yeah, I used to do it. When I lived in Sydney, in a place called Newtown, my friend Skylar and I would skip along King Street. Really good way to get around.
Why is it a good way to get around?
It's not quite as fast as jogging, but it's faster than walking.
Right.
And it's less energy, like it doesn't consume as much energy as jogging.
It's not that tough a way. No. You wouldn't really get much of a rap on the streets with that. Who's that guy?
Yeah.
Joyfully bounding along like a spring lamb.
Do you think the police should skip around? Yeah. Do you think that'd be good?
We'll catch the bad guys.
Follow that man. All right, thank you, Rhonda. Paul, I think, is also from Brisbane. Are you there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here.
It's an all-Brisbane morning, apparently.
It sounds like it.
What's the ban?
The ban is heavy metal music before 10 o'clock on the weekend.
What? Before 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, before 10 in the morning, so I always wake up with a hangover and it just annoys the hell out of me.
Who's instituted the ban?
Me.
Oh, you have?
Against my flatmate.
And what's he racking up? What sort of...
Yeah, what does he want to play?
Corn.
You're Corn.
That is the worst music of all. That is the worst music of all time.
It is. It's, like, terrible.
And he just has to... on a Saturday morning before 10, he's got to have a bit of Corn.
He does. Anything. Metallica, just like, you name it. He just cranks it up and just annoys the hell out of me because I've got a headache.
Right. And what would you find acceptable before 10 o'clock? Supertramp?
No.
Rearranged.
No, probably ABBA. No. I don't really listen to music that early in the morning. It just annoys me too much.
Right.
Probably something a little bit trancy, but that's about it.
Whoa.
What?
Thanks, man.
Whoa. It's much too early for that, David. Sorry.
Nice way to wake up. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Got more. What did you say there?
Oh, another interesting fact. You know how you're talking about Big Brother?
Yes.
It's like the guy instituted the ban against playing heavy music was also hit on by David in the Big Brother house.
Whoa.
Hit on. He was at Sleazeball Recovery at the Wickham Hotel.
Really?
Yeah. We sat down and had a drink with him, but he passed out and the bouncers moved him on, so nothing came of that.
Oh, so nothing happened?
No, nothing happened, but he's gay.
You weren't awoken to the sound of Pet Shop Boys at 9:30 the following morning?
No, nothing like that, no.
Thanks, man. Keep us posted.
It does say that in the Herald Sun. I mean, I apologise if it's not true, would there be a lie in the Melbourne Herald Sun?
No.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
We got Marg on the line. Marg, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Melbourne.
And what's the ban in Melbourne?
In our house, it's recorders.
We've
got a 9 and a 7-year-old, and they're not allowed to play it unless it's in their bedroom and before 6 o'clock at night and because once Dad gets home, that's it.
Skipping ropes and recorders. This is all very Victorian. We've got what will be banned next? Boiled sweets will be banned. All of the fun will be gone.
What is the purpose of the recorder? I mean, it's not an instrument that people continue to play, is it?
If you get good, it's
No, it's not it. But Bon Scott actually did play recorder on one of Blackfeather's songs.
Wow.
It's not.
And so record. I think my daughter's aspiring to be that.
Bon right. Scott. Well, best of luck.
Bon Scott of the recorder. All right, well, that's a festival of bands right there.
That's right.
There is no prize, David. It's not that sort of program.
Oh, damn.
But look, if you want to stick around, there's more to come on Get This. Oh, that's the end theme. That means, once again, we're running late. We're having too much fun with these comedy festival guests. David O'Doherty, thanks for sitting in for the entire hour.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Now I'm going to bed.
Oh, are you? Have you got, Ed was telling me, keyboard aficionados, not just comedy fans, but keyboard aficionados enjoy your shows.
I've got a keyboard that I got for my 11th birthday in this show. It's a 2-foot Yamaha Portasound.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Ed, that we weren't able to get to to you being in the social page. What's going on there?
Never mind.
I've lost the picture.
Good, yeah.
You've taken it, haven't
We've got to go, Tony. Look,
there's a picture of you and some babe in the Sunday papers. And it was at the premiere of a film. Yeah. You've got to understand, Dave, there's this big Australian film called Kokoda. All the stars were there. Tiny pictures of them. Huge picture of Ed Gavely.
You know.
And his
tall drink of water.
Special friend. All right, we might have room for that tomorrow. David, any final message for Australians before we go?
Have a lovely Anzac Day, everybody.
Go and see David. He's on the Melbourne Town Hall, the whole run through the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. That's a choice show. I saw it last night.
Indeed.
Choice. What the hell is that?
Means good.
You'll be copping a lot of that in New Zealand. I can assure you of that. Thanks for everyone who took part. David and the callers, everyone else. And I think the key phrase of the day was, I've had a boob job. And we'll be back on Wednesday with Jane Kennedy. But it's all thanks to Census 1234. Of course it is.